You know, I remember back in ninth grade, we were given an assignment to write a vocational paper. What do you want to be when you grow up, okay? And that was good for me. I had accepted Jesus as my Savior, and maybe that helped stir up, no doubt it did, looking back, getting serious about, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? You created me. You know far better than anyone what I should do with my life. What do you want me to do? And so I think that helped me to begin to seriously start praying about what's God's will for my life. What's my purpose for life? I've shared with you before, and going back through my father's journals, his life journals, before he became a Christian in his 20s, he had journaled, if I could just find a purpose in life. He was looking for a purpose. Even though he wasn't yet a believer, he knew he needed a sense of purpose. He didn't want to just exist. He wanted a purpose in life that was bigger than himself. Well, I think this is a good question for all of us. What would you say is the driving purpose of your life? What is it you've given yourself to and are willing to give yourself to for the rest of your life? What's your driving purpose in life? I like a little statement that I heard that kind of sticks in your mind. Only two choices on the shelf, serving God or serving self. And there's a lot of truth to that. The more you read the Bible, the more you'll see, yeah, those are the choices. We either choose to serve God or we choose to serve ourselves. And we can learn from the Bible. It's wonderful to read the Bible. Now, I hope you've started on your Bible reading plan. And whatever plan you have, keep it up and find a plan you can do daily. We've encouraged many of you to consider getting the daily Bible that gives you Old Testament, New Testament, Proverbs, and Psalm. You just read for the date and you get through the whole Bible in a year. Now, I'll confess my sins. I am catching up from last year. I'm doing 2 days because of that COVID. I had about 3 weeks there. I got behind. But I'm on track for the new year, and I'm finishing up at the end. You see, if you shoot for nothing, you're going to hit it every time. You need a goal. You need a goal to get into the Bible. Why? For the purpose of getting to know God. Getting to know Him intimately. Learning to love Him and learning what your purpose in life is all about. This last week in my Bible reading, And by the way, if you want to get hold of one of these, we've got them in the church office. And so they're available. And the schedule that is used that you can hook up with any Bible is out there in the gallery. But reading through Genesis now. We're starting out the new year. So we're reading the beginning of Genesis, the beginning of Matthew, the beginning of Psalms, the beginning of Proverbs. So I came across again the story of Abraham. And it encouraged me. You know why? Because Abraham was like you and I are. He was a man of faith. He'd put his faith in God. But he wasn't perfected yet. He was still a work in progress. Don't you feel that way in your own life? And so what happened? Here he steps out in faith to obey God, but he's still struggling, and he's still filled with a lot of selfishness in his life. So he's traveling through a pagan land, and his wife's really beautiful. And so he's fearful that these pagans will kill him to get her. So what does he say to his wife? Honey, just tell him you're my sister. Okay? Yeah, a real bold man, you know, that's going to protect his wife. He says, my skin's more important than yours. You know, they may go after you, but I don't want them to get me. This was a selfish man. He was a believer, but he still had a lot of selfishness in him. Now, you read down the way, later in his life, and he's been so blessed of God that he and his nephew, Lot, they need to part ways because they can't handle with all the animals and so forth they had. And he says to the younger nephew, the older defers to the younger. And he says, you choose where you want to go, and then I'll take what's left. Now, I see a different man here. I see a man who's grown in his faith, and he's learning the two choices on the shelf, serving God or serving self. And he wants to serve God. And so his life isn't any longer all about himself. His life is becoming increasingly focused on, I want to serve God. And you know what? I want to serve others. Reading through your Bible will help you to see these illustrations of people like us who struggle. We still have that flesh part of our humanness, but because of the Holy Spirit in us, there's that part of us that wants to do God's will. And we can grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, I'd like you to turn with me back to Daniel 5, where we were last week, and we're going to build on last week's message. The message last week, as you remember, was from Belteshazzar. Don't waste your life. He totally wasted his life. And Daniel 5 tells us the ways in which he wasted his life. Today we want to build on that and make a contrast. Belteshazzar is a man who did the wrong things. He wasted his life. And we can learn from wrong examples. Don't go there. Don't go down that path. But now today we're going to look on the positive side. Invest your life. Invest your life. And the example is Daniel. He is a wonderful example of a man who invested his life. And we are going to get encouraged and challenged as we look at the life of Daniel together. Now, in Daniel chapter 5, let me just remind you of the context here. Daniel is in his 80s. He's a senior citizen saint, okay? And he is before this wicked king, Belteshazzar, head of Babylon. And the kingdom now, because of its moral decay, its sinfulness from within, is doing what every kingdom and nation does that becomes morally corrupt. It eventually disintegrates. It eventually falls apart from within, if not from without. And so here's Daniel, and he is with this king, Belteshazzar. The kingdom's been crumbling in the outside areas, but there's this huge city of Babylon, 15 miles square. And if you can imagine this in your mind, we mentioned this last week, the city walls are 87 feet thick. That's how thick they are. And then they're 350 feet high. So this sanctuary is about 60 feet high. So go on up there about six times. That's how high the walls were. You talk about a pretty fortified city, okay? And then as we shared last week, it had a river flowing through it, the river Euphrates, so they had water. They had stored up 20 years of food. We are impregnable, right? No. And pride leads to a fall. And so what had happened was that this wicked king, you remember, put on a party, and during the banquet party up on the plaster of the wall, a finger writes these words, "You're weighed, you're divided, you're found wanting, and it's over. The kingdom is judged by God." That night, the enemy, the Persians, would divert the river, and they would march soldiers under the wall where the river was. Pretty smart plan. And then they took over the city and they killed the king that night. Now that's the setting. But it hasn't quite happened yet. It's the night that the writing is on the wall and the king is saying, "Who can interpret this writing?" And they call in Daniel because he'd done it years earlier for his grandfather Nebuchadnezzar. He had interpreted by God giving him the wisdom, the meaning of a God-sent dream. And so in this context, we find a contrast as we look at these two men. A very powerful contrast between one man who wasted his life, another man who invested his life. Now let's focus on Daniel today, in contrast, who invested his life. Daniel chose to live for God. He lived for God from his youth right on through his middle years into his senior years till the day he went home to heaven. He lived for God. Was he perfect? No, he wasn't perfect. There's nobody perfect. He was saved by grace, by faith, just like you and I. But he was sincere, he was committed, and he lived for God. And as he lived for God, God used him. God used his life in the place where God had planted him. He wrote scripture. He gave us the book of Daniel. He served under several different pagan kings, some of whom were between the time of his grandfather and the king Belteshazzar before whom he was standing. So he impacted generations when he lived, but he even impacted future generations because he wrote the book of Daniel. 600 years later, that same group that he headed up, the Magi, the wise men of Persia, came to Bethlehem to celebrate the birth of Jesus. So they had Bible prophecies. Daniel prophesied the coming of the Messiah. Daniel studied the writings of Jeremiah, a fellow prophet, and wrote about that in the book of Daniel. And so it is, this man was used of God. Don't you think we could learn from him? I think we can. Don't waste your life, invest your life. I'm going to share with you today five principles, contrasting principles for what it means to invest your life to live for the glory of God. Let's take it to heart. Number one principle, have humble faith. To repent of pride, the pride within us all that tends to lift up self against the God of heaven. Let's look at a positive example of this. Daniel is a humble man of faith who prayed and gave God the glory. In Daniel 5 verse 22, you'll see the contrast. The reproof to the king. The king who could have cut off his head, but he spoke the truth. He interpreted the dream. And he said, Belteshazzar, verse 22, you have not humbled your heart. Though you knew all this, you knew about your grandfather and how he was proud and God humbled him, but he repented and he turned to the true and living God. You haven't done that. And so let's go back in our minds as he spoke the truth to Belteshazzar that he hadn't humbled his heart. Many years earlier, he's in the crisis with the grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar. The wise men in that time couldn't interpret the king's dream. In Daniel chapter 2, Daniel went in, verse 16, he desired of the king that he would give him time. See, the king, Nebuchadnezzar, he was a dictator. It was going to be done on his schedule. When the wise men couldn't interpret it, he says, I'm going to kill you all. And Daniel heard about this, and he says, wait a minute, give me some time. I'm going to pray to God. God will give us the answer to this. And so here's what Daniel did. Daniel, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 17, he went to his Christian friends. Christ hadn't come yet. His believing Jewish friends who were looking forward to the coming Messiah. And he said in verse 18, I want you to pray. Desire the mercies of God from heaven. That God would reveal this secret. That we won't perish. So he enlisted others. In a time of national crisis, what did he do? He prayed. Hey, are we praying? I hope we are. I hope we are praying for our country. Because our country's heading the wrong way. And we're making lots of immoral choices. And it will reap some consequences. So we need to be praying. God, open the eyes of our fellow citizens to see that the Bible hasn't changed. Moral truth hasn't changed. We need to be praying for our families, for our church. We need to be praying. Well, Daniel prayed. Chapter 2, Daniel says that the dream was revealed to Daniel. God answers prayer. And Daniel said, blessed be the name of the Lord forever, for wisdom and might are his. It comes from God. Kings and kingdoms will pass away. There's one king who's forever. So he says in verse 21 of Daniel 2, he, God, changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. Isn't that true? Kings and kingdoms, presidents and presidents and leaders, they come. They go, but there's one king who's king over all. And so he says, and knowledge and wisdom belong to God. So he was praising God. He was a man who worshiped God. God was big in his faith and in his heart. He revealeth the deep and secret things. So there's many things in life we don't understand, but we can still trust the God who holds the future, knowing that if we're believers in Jesus as our Savior, he holds our future. And nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. He holds us in the hollow of his hand. And he said in his words there in Daniel 2, I thank thee and praise thee, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might. And you have made known unto me now what we desired. You've made known unto me the king's matter. So when blessings came, he didn't take the credit. He reflected the credit. He gave the glory back to God. So he comes into the king's presence in verse 27, and he points out all these others couldn't give you the answer because it's God who gives the answers. It's not me, it's God. He points out human limitations. There's no one leader that's the answer to everything other than Jesus. He is the answer. And our King Jesus is the one who will rule one day on this earth. And then he said this to this mighty powerful King Nebuchadnezzar, verse 28 of chapter 2. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and thy visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And then he explained right down the line about the future Gentile kingdoms that would rule over the earth, that he would have a time where he would be set aside, but then he would be put back into power. And he explained all that to the king. Now, here he is before the most powerful man in the world, a dictator who didn't have to have a vote from the court. He could just say, go cut this guy's head off. And he says, I'm going to tell him the truth. I'm going to tell him what God says. And he did it. He revealed the meaning of the dream to Nebuchadnezzar. And so the very first principle, if we are to invest our life for the glory of God, is this. We need to have humble faith. We need to die to the pride within us daily and have a humble faith that depends on God. Number two principle, have reverent faith. Faith in the God who holds your breath in his hand. You see, Daniel was a young man who purposed in his heart to please God. So remember back from last week, Daniel chapter 5, verse 23, the wicked king Belteshazzar, you have lifted yourself against the Lord, the God in whose hand thy breath is. And we mentioned last week, boy, with COVID, there's a lot of understanding now more about breath and how it is a gift from God and how we have no lean on life. Our breath is from God. And Daniel was pointing this out to this powerful king. And so he, this powerful king, did not have a reverent faith in God. Matter of fact, he'd just been having a big orgy and took the golden vessels from the temple in Jerusalem, which they had conquered, and they were having a party, drinking at their party out of these vessels dedicated to the true God. He was irreverent. And so the contrast is simply this. Here in his 80s, he is still, as he did in his youth, fearing God, reverencing God, before the wicked king, knowing, I'm going to tell this man, your kingdom's over and you're going to die. How is he going to take that? He still spoke the truth. Because he realized his life wasn't really in the king's hand. His life was in God's hand. God would have the final say. That was the grace that God had given him. And so go back now in the history of the book of Daniel and understand that 60 years earlier, when Daniel's just a teenager, now we've got teenagers here today, all right? This is a good example for teenagers. Daniel in his teens, he's probably about 14, 15, 16, right in there, when he was taken captive from Israel, moved hundreds of miles to a whole new place, put in a setting where he now would be trained to serve in a pagan king, Nebuchadnezzar's regimen. And here he is, but he's got faith in his heart because he was taught in his youth about the true and living God, and he had a faith that stuck with him his whole life. And so the Bible tells us in Daniel chapter 1, the king appointed, this is Nebuchadnezzar, the grandfather of Belteshazzar, a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank. Here's a key verse. You ought to mark it in your Bible. I marked this when I was a teenager in my Bible, verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. He purposed in his heart, I'm going to respect my human authorities, but God is my final authority. And if there's a conflict, then I'll have to follow God, whatever the cost. And if I can wisely work out a creative alternative where I can please both, I will. That's wisdom, isn't it? That's wisdom. He was a young man, but as a young teenager, he was God-fearing. He was looking to God for how to handle life and how to make decisions. And he purposed in his heart. He had goals in life. And his goal was to live for God. That was his goal. Praise God that he had that goal in his life. Now, in respecting his human authorities, he then looked for a creative alternative. So he had humble faith, he had reverent faith, he had, number three, respectful faith. Faith for God who owns everything, but a young man who also creatively respected his human authorities, putting God first, yet honoring his human authorities, he was blessed. Now here's the contrast. Go back to Belteshazzar, chapter 5, verse 23. He lifted himself up against God. And the verse at the end says, and whose are all thy ways? God is the one in control of your ways. You're not. You know this whole theory, if you think it, you can be it. Whatever you dream, you can be. It's all, you know, okay, this was not his attitude. Is God's the one who determines my opportunities. He opens and closes doors. I'm not the big, not that we shouldn't have goals, but they should be humble goals that God, what is your will? And what is your leading? And I'm willing to adjust my goals at any point to fit your goals. And so Daniel had it right. He had it right. And so that brings us to this third point, have respectful faith. And back in chapter 5, verse 23, Belteshazzar, the contrast, lifted himself against God. He didn't recognize his ways were being directed by God. He thought he was the king of his own life. He brings in these vessels from the temple that they'd conquered Israel and took the gold vessels all the way back to Babylon. And he's drinking up and having a party. Total disrespect for God. That's the negative side. The positive side is this. Daniel's the example of the respectful faith. In Daniel chapter 1, the prince of the eunuchs, the guy that was put over all of these captives that were taken and now being trained to serve in Nebuchadnezzar's court. The prince of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your meat and drink. If he sees you not as healthy as the rest, he's going to chop off my head. And here's what Daniel said. He, very creative, he says, prove your servants 10 days. Could you put us on a little test here? Check us out. Let us eat the diet that fits within our biblical convictions. Remember, he was an Old Testament Jew under the Old Covenant. So he had certain foods he was allowed to eat and certain foods he wasn't allowed to eat as a believing Jew. That was part of their Jewish faith under the Old Covenant. And because he'd been so respectful towards his authority let him do the test. I'm going to let you do it for 10 days. I'm not going to lose my head over this, but we'll see how it goes for 10 days. Well, they did it for 10 days. Daniel followed the diet that was within the bounds of Scripture for him at that point in his life. And the Bible says that God gave him and his three friends knowledge and skill and all wisdom and understanding. Daniel had understanding in all visions. And verse 19 tells us, and the king communed with them. Nebuchadnezzar came to check out and see how are these young men coming along that we're training. And among them, among all, was found none like Daniel. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah therefore stood before the king in all matters of wisdom, understanding. The king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. And the Bible tells us he continued just faithfully living for God. When he was a young man, in his teens, he was living for God. He didn't lean to his own understanding. He didn't just say, I know it all and I can do it all and I'm going to set my own direction. I'm going to set my own course. As a teenager, he looked to God to direct his life. What a great example for us. Humble faith, reverent faith, respectful faith. Now the fourth thing, have obedient faith to glorify God. See, Daniel, he chose courageously to speak God's truth to the most powerful man in his day because he was all about bringing glory not to kings, but to God. Yet he respected his kings, but he honored God. Back in chapter 5:23 again, the problem with Belteshazzar, his pride, he lifted himself against the Lord, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified? Isn't this amazing? God holds unbelievers accountable to glorify him. That's what it says. Why? Because he's the creator. He deserves glory. He's the creator God. He held this unbelieving, wicked king accountable. He had missed his purpose in life. He wasn't created for his own glory. He was created for God's glory. He was created to do God's purposes. And when he ignored them, he was held accountable for that. That's the negative example that we looked at last week. Now this week we're focusing on the positive example. What's the positive example? Daniel purposed in his heart that he would glorify God. He did it in his youth. He did it in the middle years. And he did it in his senior years. He did it through his life till the day he went home to heaven to be with God. And so Daniel had this motive to glorify God. And interpreting the dream for Belteshazzar's grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, he spoke truth to power in both cases with men who could have chopped his head off to the most powerful men in the world. His purpose in life was to glorify God. And he had that clear. And so that helped him to sort through making tough decisions in life. What am I going to do? Well, what's the thing that will glorify God? That's what I'm going to do. Well, what if this happens? No, that doesn't matter. That's in God's hands. My purpose is to glorify God. And so he had it right. So earlier when he interprets the dream for Nebuchadnezzar, the grandfather of Belteshazzar, in Daniel chapter 4, he interpreted the dream and he said, the dream is the stump's cut off. That's you. You're going to be cut off, but the stump is left. You're not going to be killed. And the king, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, Daniel 4:26. After that, thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. You've been thinking you're the ruler. No, God is sovereign. And he said to him, wherefore, O king, let thy counsel, my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off thy sins by righteousness. Woo, Can you imagine telling this dictator, you need to quit sinning? You need to do what's right. Can you imagine the grace that God gave him to speak truth to power? But he did. Thy iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, and if it might be a lengthening of thy tranquility. Now, Daniel knew where true peace comes from. It's not more money in your bank account. It's not a chicken in every pot. It's being in a right relationship with God. And King, you need to be in a right relationship with God. So he spoke truth to power. He had this humble faith, reverent faith, respectful faith, obedient faith. King, you need to be glorifying God in your life. That's what life's all about. Now that brings us to our last point. Have persevering faith to believe that God rewards faith and faithfulness. You see, Daniel was a faithful man. He glorified God when he was young, when he was middle years, when he was older. That was his purpose. That's what drove him. None of us can go backward. We all can have regrets of saying, I look back, there's a season in my life I didn't glorify God. Now, if you've trusted Christ as his forgiveness, that's under the blood. The point is, where are you going from here? Where are we going from here forward at whatever season we might be in life? We need to have a persevering faith that whatever days and seasons I have left in my life, I'm going to glorify God. So here he is interpreting the dream of the plaster of Belteshazzar as he's in his 80s, and he interprets it correctly. You're numbered, you're weighed, the kingdom's divided, you're going to die. And King Belteshazzar had no faith to believing the God of the Bible. In his pride, he just lived for self. Here's Daniel, in contrast, in all the seasons of his life, youth, middle years, senior years, he's believing in God. He's humbly serving God. God chose in his mercy to protect Daniel. He did protect Daniel. Daniel, that night, the king realized he was accountable. And rather than reacting, he did what he said he would do. He put the robe on Daniel. He put the chain on his neck. He raised him to the third person in the kingdom. Even the wrath of man can be made to praise God. And here's Daniel in his 80s, putting his life on the line. He's not saying, you know, I'm up in years. It's time the younger generation should do it. You know, I'm done. I've served my time. He's in his 80s. He's still speaking the truth. He's still preaching the truth. He's doing what he can to the glory of God. And Daniel was faithful. Now, he was promoted and protected. That night, the king died, but Daniel didn't die. And Daniel was raised to be the prime minister under the next king, the Persian king, Cyrus. And so God is the one that's in control. We're not in control. Somebody said, you know, the craziest thing I bought in 2020 was a planner. You right? Remember, we talked about that last week. And the point is, we can make our plans, but it's God who ordains what happens. And so we better make our plans humbly and prayerfully, and saying, if God wills, we will do this. If God wills, we will do this. And so it is, Daniel faithfully spoke this truth to Belteshazzar, and it all came true. Belteshazzar wouldn't listen, and God's deadline came, and Belteshazzar was killed. God allowed the judgment, and he was taken out into eternity, and he answers to God for what he did with his lifetime. However, Nebuchadnezzar, earlier on, the grandfather, did listen. In the providence of God, God humbled him. And he did go insane for 7 years, and he ate grass like an animal. And then he came to his senses. And listen to this. These are words that fit for today, okay? They fit for every day, but they fit for today pretty clearly in our country and in our world. Here's what Nebuchadnezzar said after he came to his senses, that he really wasn't the one in power. It was God who was in power. And he says this in Daniel 4:34. At the end of the days of Nebuchadnezzar, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned. When he looked to God. When he looked to God. I blessed the Most High. I praised and honored him that liveth forever. Dominion is an ever, his is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. I remember the first time reading through my whole Bible in a year, I marked that verse in my Bible. Boy, is that a good verse. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Guess what? God knows what he's doing. Through all the ages of history, God knows what he's doing. And he's got an eternal kingdom. It's just as sure as anything. That eternal kingdom is at work right now, spiritually in you. And you're a part of something that's forever. It's an eternal kingdom. He said, at the same time my reason returned, the glory of my kingdom, my honor, I was established in my kingdom. Here is Daniel giving the praise in his middle years, the joy he had of seeing a man converted. A man who was prideful, the last man, kind of like Saul in the New Testament, the last man you'd ever think would humble himself and say, the glory all belongs to God, not me, was Nebuchadnezzar. God changes people. God is all powerful. And Daniel was faithful. He was faithful to speak to Belteshazzar, who wouldn't listen and died in his unbelief. And he was faithful to speak truth to Nebuchadnezzar, his grandfather, who repented and believed and gave glory to God. So here's Daniel. He's in his 80s. He's still faithful to speak truth. Even when there was an unrepentant king before him, at all seasons he's being used of God. He keeps growing spiritually toward his goal to glorify God, to know God, to make God known. He lived by faith. He is a great example to us of the book of Hebrews, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. He couldn't see God with his eye physically, but he knew God existed through his creation and through Scripture, and he believed in God. And then he believed, as Hebrews says, if we would please God, we must believe that he exists and that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Don't you see that in these verses we've looked at today? Daniel is a youth, middle years, he diligently sought God. He diligently sought God. And the Bible tells us that by faith, there were those who stopped the mouths of lions. Who's that? That's Daniel. Daniel is referred to in the New Testament Hall of Fame because he humbly lived by faith to the glory of God. What a great example. Here are the principles for investing your life to the glory of God. Have humble faith. Have reverent faith, respectful faith, obedient faith to glorify God. That is your calling. That is God's will for your life. Have persevering faith in all seasons of your life. Go forward from here to the glory of God. Now, let's just talk for a few minutes about applying this to our lives. How does it fit? It's not just knowledge for us to know in our head. But as we read these words, it's like water flowing through a sieve. You don't always retain everything, but it gives you a clean mind. And as you read through the Word, as you hear Bible preaching, as you hear gospel songs and scriptural, spiritual songs, the truth keeps washing through your brain and begins to change your mind. It begins to change your heart and mind and our attitude toward God. If others were to observe your life, do you think they would say your chief purpose is to invest your life to the glory of God? Do you feel like, honestly, objectively, if a survey was taken of people know you best, would they say, that person's purpose is to glorify God? I see that in their life. We should all long for that, shouldn't we? That it would be observable. People can't see our motive, but they can see our actions. And wouldn't that be a blessing if the people around us could genuinely say, that person's action shows a heart that consistently, truly wants to glorify God? That should be our goal. Now, I've got another question for meditation, for thinking upon. Do you agree with this statement? Two choices on the shelf, serving God or serving self. Do you agree with that? It's really true. And the more you read the Bible, the more you'll understand that's the calling of God for your life. What did Jesus say in Matthew 16? He said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever will save his life will lose it. And whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world, this temporal world that's going to pass away and burn up, and he loses his own soul? In Matthew 6, Jesus put it this way, no person can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money, God and personal pleasure is your main thing you put before God. Whatever it is, you can't serve two. You serve God or you serve something else that's lesser than God. Now, why from the New Testament would it be foolish to serve anything other than God and to live for anything less than the glory of God? Here's why. The New Testament gives further clarification. We see it in the life of Daniel, but let me just remind you of a passage you probably know. In 1 John chapter 2. We're reminded, don't love this world system that's passing away, or the things that are in this world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Temporal things are going to pass away. Enjoy what God gives you, but don't worship it. Don't let it control you. And then he goes on to say, why? And he tells us this, for all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of this temporal world system that's now affected by the curse. And the world system that leaves God out passes away, and its desires, its shameful pursuits. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. There's why. The answer is that the one system served just is going to pass away and all burn up. But living to the glory of God means everything you do in this life can count for eternity, because it's done to the glory of God. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, it's done to God's glory, and it counts for eternity. That's why one system is passing away, the other is eternal. That's why. And so it then makes sense when you go through the book of Romans and find justification by grace through faith alone in Christ alone, and then the mercies of God demand of us in Romans chapter 12, brothers and sisters, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The reasonable thing for you to do is live for the glory of God. That's the reason. It's just to give your life to say, God, I am going to serve you. Wherever you put me and place me, I'm going to serve you and live for your glory. This then allows us to fulfill an eternal purpose, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, you do your will and it's going to pass away. You do God's will and it's going to last forever. It's going to bring glory back to God. And the Bible is filled with these wonderful examples of what this looks like when it says, don't, whether you eat or drink, even the daily things of life, do all to the glory of God. You see, it's all about my motive. It's about why I do what I do. I have to work on those motives daily. That's why I need to be filled with the Spirit, renew my mind in Scripture, yield to the Holy Spirit daily. Revelation chapter 4 pictures the 24 elders representing the church age, we believers. And what are they doing in heaven in the future? They're bowing down before Jesus and worshiping and praising him. We will be glorifying God in eternity because he is worthy of the glory. Don't waste your life. Invest your life. I'm so thankful for those who've gone before us, men and women like Daniel and Hannah in the Bible, how they impacted their generations to come. Daniel was called to serve in king's courts. Not everyone's called to do that, but he was faithful. He was called to write scripture. How about Hannah? Well, Hannah was called to be a godly mother. She was called to teach the ways of God in her family. And what happened? She reared a godly son named Samuel and impacted generations to come for the glory of God. See, the point isn't where God puts you. The point is, wherever God puts you, your purpose is to live to the glory of God. That's your purpose. That's my purpose. We're all standing today right here at Calvary on the shoulders of those who've gone before us. Their sacrifices have made possible the opportunities and the blessings that we have today. You know, Brother John White, who's home in heaven now, we're going to celebrate his life tomorrow in a service at 2 o'clock. What a blessing. That man, by God's grace, he was a millwright. He was an ordinary guy out there just doing his work, taking care of his family, but he served an extraordinary God. He was a deacon. He served on the missionary committee. He went to Haiti twice. He was an usher. He was a Sunday school teacher. Now, what do you think about John White up in heaven right now? Do you think he's saying, boy, I really regret serving God? No, he trusted Christ as a Savior, and then he served God. And I don't think he's up there saying, boy, I did too much for God. I think he's up there saying, praise God for every opportunity I had to serve God. For every opportunity, thank God for it. I think of other people, Jerry Tetrow, who went home to heaven, saved out of Bad Axe area here off of a farm. But God called him then to be a pastor, to be a president of a Bible college. He mentored hundreds of young people. Do you think Jerry up in heaven is now saying, boy, I wish I could be back on earth? No, I think he's saying, man, it's great up here. And he's saying, boy, I don't regret one thing I did, one sacrifice I made, one step of obedience and living for Jesus. I'm so thankful for the privilege I had to live for the Lord. Oh, and the list goes on and on. I think of Brother Dan Forbes, a teacher here in our school, served on our missionary committee. He's home in heaven. Do you think he's saying, boy, I regret all that time. I could have made more money somewhere else. No, I don't think he's regretting any of that. I think he's just thrilled that he was privileged to teach and serve, be active. I think daily of things that our mom and dad taught us. And they lived for God. And they set an example. Now, we stand on their shoulders. Now, what are we going to do when the baton is passed to us? We all then have the privilege of the next generations, don't we? And we are called to not waste our life. We're called, like a Daniel, to be a Daniel, to choose to glorify God in whatever place God puts us. That's king's courts, or that's in a home or family, or that's in a millwright shop. Wherever it is God's put you, choose to glorify God. Be a Hannah. Be a Hannah that said, I am going to impact my kids and my family for God. Serve the Lord. Glorify the Lord with all of your heart. Here's God's message, I believe, from the life of Daniel for us and from the Word of God. Look at Belshazzar, the negative example, and say, I am not going to waste my life. It's too precious. It goes by too quick. I'm going to take the example of Daniel. I'm going to invest my life. I can't go backward. Yeah, I've made some mistakes. I've done some wrong things. I accept Jesus as my Savior. His blood washes away my past failures. But I know this. Here's what I'm going to do with the rest of my life. I'm going to invest my life. I'm going to invest my life to live for the glory of God.